18. The graveyard of Caspermont is on a hillside south of the stone house, looking towards the brown slopes of Mount Airn. We buried Cannock there, close beside Mella. I put her brown shawl around him before we laid him down. It was not Parn, but Gry who led the lament for him. Mismanaged, like the boar hunt, Aga's foray had split into two groups. One went astray in Garamond and came out on our borders where they did nothing but set a barn afire. Our farmers drove them off. Aga and Harba had stayed on the forest path, 10 men with them, 5 of them bowmen. Cannock destroyed Aga and his son and one of the bowmen. The rest escaped. A farmer's son of Rodmont pursued them too far into the woods, where they turned on him. He wounded one with his boar lance before they brought him down. So the foray ended with 5 deaths. After a time, word came from Drummond that Denno and her son Seb wanted an end to the feud, asking Caspermont to send them a white bull calf, as Cannock had promised, in sign of agreement. They sent with their messenger a fine roan colt. I rode with the group that took the white calf to Drummond. It was strange to see the rooms I had been in but never seen, the faces I had known only as voices. But nothing moved me much at that time. I did our business there and returned. I gave the roan colt to Alec. I rode Branty now, for in that rush down the hill, Greylag had strained his leg past repair, and he was out to grass now in the home paddock with Roni. I went out to them every day or so with a panful of oats. They were glad to be together, and I often found them standing as horses do, close side by side, nose to flank, their tails twitching the mayflies away. I liked to see them so. Coley ran with me whether I was afoot or on horseback, set free of her leash. After a death, it is the custom in the uplands for there to be no selling or division of property, no marriages, no great undertakings or changes made for a half year. Things go on as they were, as nearly as can be, throughout that time. And after that, whatever settlements must be made are made. It is not a bad custom. In the matter of making peace with Drummond, I had to act. Otherwise, I did not. Alec took my father's place in overseeing the domain, and I took Alec's place as his assistant. He did not see it so. He thought he was assisting the Branter's son. But he was the one who knew what had to be done and how to do it. I had done nothing for 3 years, and had been a child before that. Alec knew the people, the land, the animals. I did not. Gry did not ride to Caspermont now. I rode to Rodmont 2 or 3 times a half month and sat with her and Turnock, and Parn if she was there. Turnock would greet me each time with a close, hard embrace, calling me son. He had loved and admired Cannock and grieved for him sorely and tried to put me in his place. Parn was restless and sparing with her words as ever. Gry and I seldom spoke to each other alone. She was gentle and taciturn. Now and then we rode out, she on Star and I on Branty, and let our young horses have a run on the hills. It was a fine summer, and a good harvest. Come mid-October, the crops were in. I rode to Rodmont and asked if Gry would ride with me. She came out and saddled up her pretty dancing mare, and we rode up the glen in the golden sunlight. At the waterfall pool, we let the horses graze on the banks where the grass was still lush and green. We sat on the rocks by the water in the sunlight. The branches of black willows nodded and nodded in the wind of the falling water. The three-note bird was silent. "It's soon to marry, Gry," I said. "But I don't see what else we can do." "No," she said, agreeing. "Do you want to stay here? At Rodmont? Or Caspermont?" After a time, she said, "Where else?" "Well, what I thought is this. There is no Branter of Caspermont. Alec is the man to manage the domain. He might join it to Rodmont and come under your father's protection. I think that would suit them both. Alex to marry Rab next month. They should have the stone house at Caspermont. Maybe they'll have a son with the gift. If the domains were joined, you could live here with us, Gry said. I could. Do you want to? Do you want me to? She was silent. What would we do here? What we do now, she said after a while. Would you be willing to go away? It was harder to say aloud than I had expected. It sounded stranger spoken than it did thought. Away? Into the lowlands. She said nothing. She looked out over the dappled, shining water of the pool, looking far past it. Emin took the spoons, but maybe he spoke the truth. What we can do is useless here. But down there, maybe... What we can do, she repeated. We each have a gift, Gry. She glanced at me. She nodded a deep, slow nod. It may be that I also have a grandfather or grandmother in the city of Dariswater. She stared at me with wide eyes then. That had never entered her head. She laughed with surprise. Why, you do. And you'd walk in out of the blue and say, Here I am, your grandson, the witch. Oh, Arik, how strange that is. They might find it so. I took out the little opal that I wore on its chain round my neck and showed it to her. I have this, though, and all she told me. I'd like to go there. Would you? Her eyes had begun to shine. She thought for a while and said, You think we could make a living? The way Emin said? We'd have to. Well, we could try. If we couldn't, we'd be among strangers. Strange people. That is a great fear among uplanders, to be among strangers. But where is it not? You'll train their colts. I'll tell them poetry. If we don't like them, we can move on. If we don't like them at all, we can come back home. We might go as far as the ocean shore, Gry said, looking now very far away through the sunlight and the nodding willows. Then she whistled three notes, and the bird answered. It was in April that we left, and I will leave our story there. On the south road down through the hills, a young man on a tall red horse, and a young woman on a bright bay mare, and a black dog running before them, and following peacefully along behind them, the most beautiful cow in the world. For that was the wedding gift of my domain to me, the silver cow. Not a very practical one, it seemed, until Parn reminded us that we would need money, and could sell her for a good price in Dunette, where they might still remember the white cattle of Caspermont. Maybe they'll remember what they gave Canuck, too, I said. And Gry said, Then they'll know you're the gift's gift. End of Gifts by Ursula K. Le Guin. U-R-S-U-L-A K-L-E-G-U-I-N. Read by Lindsay Ellison in the studios of AMI Talking Books for the Library of Congress, September 2005. Published by Harcourt Incorporated, 525 B Street, San Diego, California, 92101. 15 East 26th Street, New York, New York, 10010. www.harcourtbooks.com. Further reproduction or distribution in other than a specialized format is prohibited.
End of book.